So take your Bibles, turn to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. And thank you, Brother Scott. Daniel chapter 7. We're going to read the first 15 verses. Keep your Bibles open. We're going to use them. And I really am going to get you out on time tonight. Don't worry. This is going to be probably one of the more complicated Bible studies, but if you'll listen, I think I've made it understandable. I was going to say simple. I don't know that it's simple, but it'll be understandable. Daniel chapter 7, verse number 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream of in visions of his head upon his bed. I think that's funny. Of his head upon his bed. Amen. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse from one another. The first was like a lion that had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon his feet as a man, and a man's heart was given unto it. And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth, and it devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. It was diverse from all of the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns and, hang on here, my page is stuck and I had to lick my finger. There we go. And behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there was three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory, a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. Now, listen to me very carefully here. This chapter is a bit confusing if you don't understand the first verse. Look at verse number 1. In the first year of who? Belshazzar, king of Babylon. Now, wait a minute. Last week, we talked about King Darius, king of the Media-Persian Empire. Now, Belshazzar, if you remember, is Nebuchadnezzar's son. The book of Daniel is not written all chronologically. That means, let me put it in the best way I know how to say this. Chapter 7 takes place at least 30 years before chapters 5 and 6. Chapter 6 actually happens sometime between chapter 4 and chapter 5. Chapter 7, that is, happens between chapters 4 and chapter 5, chronologically speaking. Does that make sense to everybody? So you have to understand, we're no longer, Daniel's not an old man now. This is sometime in the first 30 years since the Jews have been taken captive. Nebuchadnezzar has been king. He's off the throne. Belshazzar is on the throne. And if you remember in chapter 5, that's when Belshazzar was at the end of his reign and had that wild party, and the party was over when God said, "Meeny, meeny, tikel, upharsin." The stone cut out without hands came down and destroyed him that night. This happens before chapter 5. All right? Technically, it was in the first year of Belshazzar's reign. Everybody understand that? Okay. You have to understand something else. Chapter 8 that we'll cover next week. If you look at verse number 1. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar. That means chapter 7 and chapter 8 happened before chapter number 6. Chronologically speaking. Does that make sense to everybody? Say, well, preacher, why didn't they just put it down that way? I can't answer that. You can ask God. Not mine, not my book. I didn't write it. I can just put it together as it is. Does that make sense to everybody? By the way, be careful. We in what I would call the modern or the Western world get too used to reading things in chronological order, in story order. Not everything in history was written that way. And in many languages and in many cultures, it's not written that way. So you have to understand reading things. You say, well, why does it matter who the king was? Well, how many times have you read past those verses and didn't realize when that was chronologically? God put it there so that you knew where this was taking place and when it was taking place. We've gone from Babylon king number 1, Babylon king number 2, to Media-Persian Empire, back to king number 2 of Babylon. In his first year. Chapter 8 will be the third year, and then we're going to kick off and go into some other things. So you need to understand the book of Daniel isn't all written chronologically, event by event by event by event, beginning to end. It kind of bounces around a little bit. Okay? Everybody got that? Rally your head one way or the other. All right? Okay, hear the marbles rolling. That's good. Now, God's words are infallible words. That's all that matters. Because it's not put together the way you think it should be, doesn't mean that it's not God's infallible word of God. There is a verse that says, study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman needeth not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. That means it takes some tearing apart and putting back together. That's what the word dividing means there. Daniel has this dream after Nebuchadnezzar has died. And if you remember, Nebuchadnezzar had had two dreams that Daniel interpreted. One that Nebuchadnezzar didn't even know what the dream was. The other, he knew what the dream was, but didn't know what it meant. So after those two dreams, and after Nebuchadnezzar dies, Belshazzar comes on the scene, and Daniel is in bed one night, and there is a dream or a vision that comes to him. It troubles him, and he gets up, and he writes it down word for word as God gave it to him. Now, watch this. I want you to understand something. This dream bothered Daniel. Look at verse 15 again. I, Daniel, was, what's the next word? Grieved in my spirit, in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. Look at verse number 28. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cognitions, or my thinking, or my mind, much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. Daniel didn't go around telling everybody, I had a dream. I had a vision. He didn't go on a world tour on television talking about the dream God gave him. You see, there's a lot of times when God speaks to the man of God or to a prophet where he has to preach and help people, but he can't tell them everything he knows. Now, God wanted this put in the Word of God, so he told him to put it down in writing. Now, let me help you with something, and I really do wish you would listen to me here. There is a lot of speculation as to what this dream means. Let me say right here, it is a prophetical dream. That means Daniel was foretelling something that was going to happen that even he didn't totally understand. But God was letting him see, for the purpose of putting it in the Word of God, what would take place one day. It doesn't mean he understood it all. Now, listen to me very carefully here. Preaching on the topic of prophecy can get, I call it exciting, has a little bit of a wow factor, but there's a lot of speculation in all prophecy. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. We should not worry about what God does not say. We should not dabble with what God does not say. When God tells us, we have the right to say, this is what it will be. Otherwise, it is mere speculation. I don't like to figure out prophecy based on only as I see it. Just in the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks maybe, I've had two people contact me and say, preacher, because of the weather, that means that the Lord's coming back. Because doesn't it say this? I said, okay, if that's the case, what about in Minnesota where they're getting snow right now? Oh, what about other parts of the world? You're basing it only off of one portion of what you see. I said, you can't do that. Because I could go to another part of the country or another part of the world or another part of the state and things would be different. That has no bearing on Scripture. Everybody doing okay? Trying to figure out prophecy that God did not say things and try to figure out what's there does you no good. Now, we do know in the book of Isaiah, he said that for unto you this day a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. It was a prophecy of Jesus coming. And he fulfilled it in Matthew chapter 1 and 2 and 3. And Luke chapter 2. Now wait a minute. Those were prophecies that came true. And there were many writings about it. But did you know Mary and Joseph's names are not prophesied in the Old Testament? Jesus was, but not Mary and Joseph. Bethlehem was, but not Mary and Joseph. Wonder how many people said that it was fake news. Now, listen to me. I am not going to speculate or guess at what God does not tell us. I'm going to give you facts and then try to make it as practical as we possibly can for tonight's Bible study. That is the best way to approach prophecy. Now, I will say this. Many of you have study Bibles. Most of the notes are prepared by people that did not go soul winning and know more than God knows and tell you what God didn't even say. And I'll allude to some of those things as we go through this. But I'll also show you something else about it, and you'll not be able to say one way or the other. Because God did not tell us. Let's not speculate. Okay? So that means this. Do me a favor. If you have a great historical and prophetical background and you understand the scriptures and you can exegete it, you're going to find out you don't know as much as you think you do, and you get off your high horse for a little bit here. because you don't know as much as you think you do. You heard some doctor mess him up fat bottom tell you something that you believe, but that doesn't mean it's right. You can read Dr. Schofield's notes or Warren Wiersbe's notes, or you could wear Matthew Henry commentaries or whoever else, and you're going to find different things from all of them. If God didn't tell you, don't worry about it. Amen. If God told you, then we'll find out what he said. Now, here we go. Number one, God did speak to some in the Bible before the Bible was complete in dreams and visions. He said, well, preacher, I had a dream. Yeah, I had one the other night too. Matter of fact, it was Monday night, sometime Tuesday morning. I told my wife on Tuesday, I said, I had the dumbest dream. And I just went on, and about 10 minutes later, she said, are you going to tell me what it was? I said, well, you didn't say you wanted to hear it, so I didn't want to talk about it. Now, wait a minute. He said, well, what did that dream mean? Absolutely nothing. Let me just run through a list of people, and it's not a big list that I compiled, just some. Abraham had a dream or a vision from God. He left the land of the Ur of the Chaldees to go to a land whose ruler and maker is God. Joseph, do you remember? Behold, this dreamer cometh. He dreamed of the sheaths, and he dreamed of the ladder, and his brothers would bow before him. He would be the prince of Israel. God spoke to him through those dreams. You had Samuel. God came to Samuel in dreams and visions. The prophet Obadiah of the Old Testament, farther back in the Old Testament, Obadiah saw a vision, and it was in reference to the captivity and things. The Apostle Paul had a vision. Now, wait a minute. Why did those things take place? Those things took place because they didn't have a complete copy of the Word of God. Once the Bible was completed, and I'll show you where the Bible says this, that those things ceased. We don't need God to speak to us in dreams and visions. In the Old Testament, many times the Bible says, and the word of the Lord came unto me saying, God actually verbally spoke it to people. Say, why? Because they didn't have it and they were getting it because he was speaking it to them. God doesn't come down and speak anymore. He spoke all the words. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So we have an every word Bible, the King James Bible for the English speaking people. Now, let me say this about Daniel. Daniel was not some starry-eyed, spooky Christian that every dream had a meaning. There were certain dreams that they knew were from God and a vision. They just didn't wake up one day and said, Shazam, I wonder if that was from God. No, God made it very clear that it was something that they were to take note of and do. But I want you to notice something. It happened before and in times when the Bible was not complete. Remember, God was hiding salvation from the devil and Calvary from the devil. For had he known it, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. God was going to use Satan to actually crucify Jesus to give us the gospel. The first sinner himself ended up being used for us to get salvation. I love it. I call it the biggest sucker punch in history. I love it. Now, God made it clear when a dream was from him, just like it was very clear when the word of the Lord came unto me saying. You didn't have to wonder, God, is this you? I think you would know. Now, turn to your Bible to Ezekiel, just back, 70 pages or so, Ezekiel chapter 12. Ezekiel chapter 12, look at verse number 21. I want you to notice some of the wording here, and then I'll jump into the next point. We'll get into the goodies here. You ready? Ezekiel chapter 12, look at verse number 21. And the word of the Lord came unto me. What's the next word?
Saying.
Now look at me. Ezekiel's here and he says, the word of the Lord came unto me saying. Say, why was that? Because he had to write it down. God was actually speaking the words to him. Look at verse 22. Son of man, what is that proverb that ye have in the land of Israel saying, the days are prolonged and every vision faileth? Ooh. Tell them therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel, but say unto them, the days are at hand in effect of every vision. For there shall be no more any vain vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord. I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word and will perform it, saith the Lord God. And again the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come, and he prophesieth of the times that are far off. Now look at me. God said, notice here, that the visions and the divinations would be cut off. Why? Because what he said will come to pass. And he got it all on paper so he didn't have to keep saying it. Amen. And that's what we have to realize about prophecy. Now, let's jump into the dream very quickly here. I'm not going to go back and read all of these things, but I want you to listen to me. You can go back and highlight things later or whatever. This dream is about four beasts that Daniel sees. There are four beasts that he sees, and something takes place in the midst of all this. Now watch this. Beast number one, the Bible says, in verse number four, and you don't need to read it. I'll just kind of give you a little outline of it. In verse number four, he said it was the beast like a lion. It didn't say it was a lion. The word like in the English language is a simile. In other words, let's see here. Brother Myers is like Brother Joe in the fact that he doesn't have much hair on his head. It doesn't mean Brother Myers is Joe Lopez. Amen. One Joe Lopez is enough for the entire world. Now, wait a minute. They are similar. It is a simile. It doesn't mean that it was a lion. It said it was like a lion. Now, second of all, it said it had eagle's wings. You say, well, what is the significance of the eagle's wings? It was on the beast. Number next. It had its wings plucked. Yeah. That's called an eagle that can't fly, amen? It eventually had its wings plucked, which means it could not fly. Then it stood on its feet like a man. Next, it was given a heart or the emotions of a man. So here is this beast. It's like a lion. It has eagle's wings. Then the wings get plucked. It stands up on its back feet, and it's given a heart like a man. Then verse number five talks about the next beast. It is like a bear. It doesn't say it is a bear. Notice the word like. Now, everybody look at me. Is every word of the Bible important? Yes or no? So our opinion doesn't matter. Let's take what God said. He didn't say it was a lion or a bear. He said it was like a bear. Second of all, it raised itself up on one side. Then he looked and saw, and it had three ribs from another animal in his mouth. It wasn't a chicken dinner. It was a rib dinner, amen? He went down to the rib shop. And it was told to arise and devour much flesh. If you know much about a bear will kill just to kill. Bears are nasty critters. They don't kill because they're hungry. They just kill because they're mean. They don't kill to eat even. If there's 20 chickens there, they'll kill all 20 chickens and not eat a one of them. Because they just like killing. If it's bothering them, they're going to kill it. So in beast number one, you had a lion that, something that was like a lion with eagle's wings that had its wings plucked, that stood up on its back feet, and it was given a heart like a man. The second beast was like a bear that raised itself on one side, had three ribs in its mouth, and it was told to consume a lot of flesh. Number three. Third beast, in verse number six, it says it was like a leopard. Now, leopards are fast, quiet animals. They're kind of elusive. It had four wings on its back of various kinds of bird wings. So it didn't even have four matching wings, amen? And then it has four heads. Can you imagine something that looked like a leopard with four heads on it? Now, I don't know about you, but I'm shooting one of them. And if I shoot that thing in the heart, I'm going to kill it all. I don't have to shoot it in the brain because it might have three others working it, so I'm just going to shoot right through the heart. Notice in verse number six also, it had dominion or power given unto it. So here is this leopard-like beast with four heads, four wings, and it's been given dominion or dominance and power. Then you have the fourth beast. That's verses 7 and 8. Aren't you proud of me? I'm going through these real fast. Beast number four, it was a dreadful, terrible, and exceedingly strong beast. It doesn't say what kind of animal it was like, because you're about to find out why. It had great iron teeth. Now, can you imagine a critter that's got iron teeth? I don't know about you, but I don't want to muck with something like that. It broke everything in pieces with its teeth, and then it would stomp the rest of it into powder or residue. Then it had 10 horns on top of it. Now, it wasn't 10 horns like a deer that was 5 on one side and 5 on the other. It actually had 10 independent horns coming up through its head. That was one ugly critter. Then it says, three of them were plucked out by the root, and a small horn came in its place. And in that small horn, it had the eyes of a man and a mouth that spoke great things. Now imagine a 10-horned critter with iron teeth, and all of a sudden three of those get pulled out, and one replaces it that's very small, but it's got the eyes of a man, and it begins to speak great things. Probably the first television, amen? You got the antennas around it. I don't know. A little bit of Brother Roloff in me. But anyway, that's what the fourth beast was. Now, Daniel's dream continues with more than just four beasts, though. Verses 9 through 14 give us the rest of the dream. First of all, it talks about, in verse number 9, the Ancient of Days. Now look at verse number 9. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. Notice the word ancient is capitalized. That is a proper word. That means it's naming a specific person, place, thing, right? Okay, now watch verse number 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, which came with clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. There it is mentioned again, verse number 22. Until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Now, this Ancient of Days is God. I'm going to show you how I know that in just a second. Look at Revelation chapter 1. Well, yeah, keep your finger, you got your finger in Daniel chapter 7, because we're coming back to it, but go to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. I'm going to show you what Revelation 1 says, and then we're going to jump back to Daniel chapter 7. Look at verse number 13. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 13. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he said, and he had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. Notice this is talking about Jesus. He was dead and now lives again. And God mentions here in Revelation 1 what Jesus looks like. Correct? Fold your Bible over and go back to Daniel chapter 7 again. Look at verse number 9. See if some of this sounds familiar. Look at verse 9. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was what? White as snow. Did you read that in Revelation chapter 1? And the hair of his head was like pure wool. Did you read that in Revelation chapter 1? His throne was like a fiery flame. Remember, it was brass, like it was burned in a furnace, a fire. And his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. And we could go to this, thousands ministered unto him. Now, a thousand thousands is a million. Okay? And then you have, after that, 10,000 times 10,000. That's 100 million. So you have billions of people there. And it talks about, and if you go back between Daniel 7 and Revelation chapter 1, you'll notice the likeness of Jesus in heaven and the things that are going on in heaven. And he's talking about Jesus here. He got a prophecy. See, a vision of what Jesus was here in Daniel chapter 7. Now, I don't have time to take a lot of time on that, but listen to this very carefully here. Verse number 11, I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. Now listen to this. Daniel sees Jesus conquer that last beast. Personally, I'm not going to fight you over it, but I do know that during the tribulation, you have the beast and the false prophet. And that beast is the devil. Correct? You can go to Revelation chapter 20 and find that out. And we're not going to take time to turn there. The other three beasts had power taken away, but their lives were spared. Look at verse number 14. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. That's talking about Jesus setting up the millennial kingdom here on earth. Those other kings were still able to live, and the people that were left lived, but they no longer had power. The Ancient of Days, Jesus himself, would sit and rule and reign all nations, all languages, all kindreds and people. Now, I personally believe that was in reference to throwing down the Antichrist, the beast, the false prophet, whatever you would like to call him. Listen to this statement, verse number 15, "And I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me." Why? Let me tell you why. Because less than 30 years ago, Daniel watched Babylon come in and decimate Israel. Leveled it. Now he has had a vision of the entire world being leveled just like Israel was. Can you imagine it being fresh on his mind? I mean, is there anybody here that's ever gone through a house fire and lost everything? Miss Osi did. When somebody else has a house fire, somebody that's already been through one of those, they just kind of cringe because they know what you lose everything. All your pictures, all your important papers, all your kids' papers that you kept from kindergarten up that you never used ever again in your life. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You all that are laughing loudest, Miss Ellen, are guilty of that. He could not imagine the destruction worldwide as bad as he saw just in the nation of Israel. But that's what he saw. He saw worldwide cataclysmic damage. And it bothered him. Now I must hurry. I got to give you the interpretation and I got 7 minutes. We have 2 pages of notes and I've only gotten through 3 or 4. Here we go. The interpretation of the dream is verse 16 and 17. "Came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me to know the interpretation of things. These great beasts which are 4 kings which shall arise out of the earth." Now, these 4 beasts are 4 world leaders, 4 kings. I don't know if it's one in the east and one in the west, both in the north and the south. I have no idea. It just says 4 leaders, 4 kings of the earth. Now, God does not tell us who they are. This is where I need your attention. Bible scholars will tell you that this is a reenactment of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. I think they're idiots. Why would God give it twice? Some will say, well, the lion is Great Britain. The bear is Russia. The leopard is Greece under Alexander the Great. Then you have Antiochus Epiphany. And then you have the revived Roman Empire and the 10 horns, which are the common market of Europe and the 10 nations of Europe. And one will rise out of it, which would be America. And America is the little horn. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that this took place over world history. It doesn't say it didn't, but it doesn't say it does. Could it not be at the time when Jesus comes back for the saved, that there are 4 world leaders that are running the whole world? And they'll lose their power to the Antichrist? You have 3 leaders and the 4th rises up and says, I'll take you over, I'll let you live, but I'll have all the power. I tend to lean to the second part of that. Jinx. You got the Chinese, the Russians, America, and Europe. I don't know who it's going to be. I don't know if it's any of those. But who are the world leadership powers right now? Definitely not Biden. I refuse to speculate. I just kind of know what God said. I know that when the last beast is taken down, Jesus takes over the throne on earth for the millennium. That means that last beast has something to do with the tribulation, which indicates to me that it is Antichrist. Does it not make sense? So those other, I don't understand the idea of those other three beasts being hundreds and thousands of years ago throughout history. So to use it as different times in world history doesn't make sense to me. But it could. I can tell you this. God didn't tell us, so it doesn't matter. We know who the last beast is going to be, based on its timing. Now, the fourth beast was most dreadful and most unique. The last beast seems to be Antichrist. Look at verse number 21. And I beheld the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. Does that not sound like the Antichrist to you, who will take over the whole earth, who will trouble the saints, the 666, buying and selling without the vaccination? I mean, the mark of the beast. Until the Ancient of Days comes, Jesus. By the way, notice it says that the saints are the ones that are going to rule the kingdom with him. Now, not the beast, but Jesus, the Ancient of Days. This is why we can't say that it's world history dogmatically. It could be that the three beasts are simultaneously on the scene right before the rapture, and the Antichrist, and the Antichrist conquers these three, gives them, takes their power away, but lets them live through the tribulation. Pelosi, Schumer, Biden. Oh, anyway, we don't know. We do know the ancient, the Antichrist has been called the beast. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. I'm going to go over a minute or two here. Hurry. Revelation chapter 20, look at verse number 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. Notice the word beast. Now, I've got to quickly run through this. Verse number 25, Daniel chapter 7, I believe, is the tribulation. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Remember the 144,000 soul winners that get saved and start going across the earth, and the Christians are having to be persecuted, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into the hand until a time, in times, and the dividing of time. Now look at me. The word time there is in reference to years. Time is 1 year. Times is 2 years. And the dividing of time is a half year. What is 2 + 1 + 1/2? 3.5. Tribulations divided into 2 3.5-year periods. And the second 3.5 is the one where the beast comes out. Look at verse 26. But the judgment shall sit and shall take away his dominion and consume to destroy it unto the end. That's when Jesus comes back. And he gives it back to the people, verse 27. The kingdom and dominion and the greatness of his kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints. Remember, we get saved, get raptured out, we go to heaven, we earn our rewards, we earn our rank, and we come back and we rule and reign with him, right? Verse 27. Be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. In other words, it's talking about when Jesus sets up the millennial kingdom. Daniel saw all this in a vision, and it bothered him. Now, I've got to finish. Daniel was very troubled at all he saw. He didn't go around telling everyone what he couldn't wrap his head around. The whole world, ending up as Israel had before at the captivity, just troubled him so terribly. Again, I make no predictions. I'm not talking about who these 10 horns are, the four beasts, and what nations they are, and the three that were torn out, and the one little one that came in its place, and what the eyeballs are, and what the toes on the one beast is, and what the teeth mean, and everything. It has nothing to do with that. I'm not making any predictions. I'm not telling you one way or the other that it's world history, or personally, I lean towards it not being world history, but the time just before the rapture and the tribulation. But I wouldn't fight you on it. Well, there's a lot of Bible scholars. Yeah, and they don't even use the right Bible. You read a Scofield reference Bible, and if you watch his notes, he quotes the Revised Version. Dr. Scofield didn't even believe in the infallibility of the Word of God. I don't trust his notes. Just so you know. Dr. Scofield said it's okay to remove verses from the Bible because they weren't there in the original language. How does he know? He wasn't there. Now, we do know this. The Ancient of Days puts down the Antichrist, and we will come back and rule and reign with him. Amen. Remember, Daniel chapter 7 was written between Daniel chapter 4 and Daniel chapter 5. This is a vision that God gave Daniel of what was to come in the end times. That's what it was all about. It troubled him so badly because of the destruction that was involved with it. If you read the book of Revelation and find out what goes on the earth during that 7 years, you'll know why Daniel was troubled in his spirit. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I got to crash land the plane, I'm done. Be careful we don't let Bible scholars and the intelligentsia taint what the Word of God says. God tells us what he wants us to hear. We don't have to speculate what he did not tell us.